When it comes to federal procurement, some things never change. Among the eternals, companies have to avoid organizational conflicts of interest. Some recent cases drive home that point and show just how even some big companies that should know better can get caught. Joining me with more, procurement attorney Joe Petrillo, a partner at the law firm Petrillo & Powell. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so we've got a couple of cases here that you are presenting. I'm a little surprised that IBM, of all companies, would find itself at the wrong end of a conflict of interest case. First of all, tell us, what is organizational conflict of interest and how it differs from personal conflict of interest?
Well, with contractors doing, more and more sensitive work and important work in the government of various kinds, it's important that they not create a conflict of interest. And these come in three different flavors. I mean, the first is unequal access to information, where a contractor, by performing a contract, gets special insight into what the agency is doing that would give it a leg up on a competition. The second are biased ground rules, where the company is in a position to influence or even write the ground rules under which a competitive procurement is held, and then be able to favor itself. And the final one is impaired objectivity, where one part of a contractor evaluates the performance of another part of a contractor. That's obviously a conflict of interest that needs to be taken into account. So when you've got these types of problems, there are three steps. First, the conflict has to be identified. Then the agency has to investigate it. And thirdly, the agency has to decide whether the conflict can be mitigated through some kind of agreement or steps or a walling off a portion of the entity, or whether it's so difficult a conflict that it leads to actual disqualification of the contractor.
All right, so the first case involves IBM and the Defense Logistics Agency. What happened there?
Well, this is a procurement of the Defense Retirement Pay System, upgrades to that system. And in this instance, IBM had a subcontractor, and that subcontractor had an important role in the agency in working on and advising it with regard to this system. At first, the DLA looked into whether or not there had been the leak or disclosure of sensitive information that would have given IBM and its subcontractor an advantage in the procurement. But as it looked further into the matter, it shifted its focus to a different type of organizational conflict of interest. It appeared that the subcontractor had actually been involved in the process of drafting the specifications, drafting the strategy for the procurement, and doing other preliminary issues. So after looking into that, the agency decided to disqualify IBM for biased ground rules, and went to the GAO on protest.
All right, so in other words, what happened was, whether intentionally or not, basically the procurement was wired by that subcontractor.
Well,
in effect, if not in intent.
Yeah, it's an interesting illustration of two different doctrines that GAO has here that point in different directions. One doctrine says that an organizational conflict of interest has to be based on hard facts, but the other doctrine says that the mere appearance of impropriety is sufficient. So how that played out here was that the actual involvement of the subcontractor, those were hard facts. The subcontractor did certain things with regard to the procurement. But then once that was established, there was no need to show that they had actually slanted the specifications or the ground rules in favor of IBM and its subcontractor. The mere appearance of impropriety was sufficient to impose the disqualification.
So even if it wasn't wired, it was sort of tainted, in effect, by having that earlier involvement.
Absolutely.
All right, so that's one case. We're speaking with procurement attorney Joe Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell of D.C., and interesting case also involving the U.S. Agency for International Development and a company called International Resources Group.
That's right, yes. It was having a procurement. AID was having a procurement of one of these multiple award indefinite quantity contracts to help with its water programs around the world. In the middle of the procurement, One of the bidders hired the director of the USAID's Office of Water. When that offeror won award, one of the one of the offerors that had just narrowly missed out on one of the contracts protested, and GAO looked at the agency's investigation because they did look into it and concluded there was no organizational conflict of interest. But when GAO reviewed that, it found that the investigation was superficial, that they hadn't really gone into the facts, looked at the emails and such. They hadn't really found out the facts that the agency, the official was intimately involved in the procurement, had lots of important involvement in the procurement, and they sustained the protest. Usually, GAO is going to defer to agency decisions on organizational conflict of interest issues because they're judgmental, but here it upheld the protest, and the basis was the inadequate agency investigation of the issue.
So a good reminder that the GAO can be an important stopgap if you feel as a contractor that the agency hasn't really taken a good enough look at the particular protest you might be lodging.
Absolutely, and the Court of Federal Claims has also been pretty militant on this issue as well.
And so, Joe, do you see an increase in cases of alleged organizational conflict of interest? Is this something that's growing in the procurement area?
I think it's not necessarily growing, but there is a fair amount of it going on, and it's been fairly steady over the years. With the consolidation of contractors has taken place and is continuing, you run into this type of problem much more frequently. Agencies tend to be on different sides of an issue or on different sides of a program. And that's what creates the conflict.
It sounds like this is something that contractors almost need to have someone devoted to compliance look over every possible, deal that they want to get involved in, offer is the word I'm trying to look for. To comb it for this very issue.
That's absolutely the case. I mean, and lawyers have important conflict of interest rules, and when we take on a case, there's someone who needs to make a review of whether or not there's a conflict of interest, and that's of course particularly important when you have a large law firm with lots of different clients.
And by the same token, if you see something coming down the line that you might want to bid on later on, say your business development arm sees something that's going to be an RFQ could be coming in another year, you have to decide whether you want to get involved at that level, which is developing the program. Or do you want to wait until you can bid on the contract for the program itself later on down the line?
Well, that's right. You have to be strategic about what kind of work you take on because it could be preventing you from taking on other work in the future.
And by the same token, you also have to watch who ends up bidding to make sure that they are not in an organizational conflict of interest because then you might be up. Well, if they do, then you've got a good protest ground.
Absolutely. You got to look at that. And in the IBM case, you have to make sure your subcontractor doesn't have a conflict of interest.
Well, it's a complicated world, I guess, to get that BMW at the Tower Club. Joe Petrillo is a partner at the law firm Petrillo & Powell. As always, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.